Your money briefing is sponsored by Athene, where our innovative annuity solutions and unique crediting strategies are powered by unconventional thinking. We are driven to do more for you.
With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Next time you travel overseas for business or a family vacation, you might need to pack more than just your passport because the rules keep changing. We'll have details in just a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. With the Federal Reserve signaling no more interest rate increases this year and some rumblings of even a possible rate decrease before the year is out, it has sent investors looking for ways to make some money off their cash. The Wall Street Journal Markets team makes some suggestions, such as high-yield savings accounts, which can offer interest approaching 2.5%, but those rates can change as the economy worsens or the Fed lowers rates further. Other options include stocks with a focus on defensive sectors, like consumer staples, or the real estate sector of the S&P 500. And then for investors with more appetite for risk, there's emerging market bonds or high-yield municipal bonds. But it's important to be sure the debt carried by bonds is guaranteed by the FDIC. And if you've got a negative balance on your Venmo account, you might get a call from the company. Customer service emails viewed by the Wall Street Journal show that Venmo is notifying users it could refer them to a collection agency over amounts as high as $3,000 and as low as $7. Also, Venmo recently amended its user agreement that now gives the company the power to recover money its customers owe by seizing it from their other accounts at PayPal, which operates Venmo. But is Venmo going after the right people? Some users have said the negative balances in question came after fraudsters took over their accounts or the users got duped and sending payments to swindlers.
Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions, then zero in on your shortlist of qualified candidates using an online dashboard. Get started today at Indeed.com/WSJ. That's Indeed.com/WSJ.
Time was when you traveled internationally, you could just grab your passport and go. Well, times have changed. Oh, you'll need your passport, but it's likely you'll need more than that. And Wall Street Journal Middle Sea columnist Scott McCartney is on the line with us with some details. So, Scott, it used to be so simple, but it's changing security levels that are at work here.
Yeah, changing security levels and just the, the U.S. passport used to be the gold standard, and it's not as strong by itself anymore. There are more requirements at various countries. Dealing with different issues, including human trafficking with children that people are really concerned about.
Something that might sneak up on people is the European Union requiring more documentation in 2021.
Right. So this is basically a requirement that the U.S. started requiring of Europeans. So because so many of these things are reciprocal, the Europeans have decided to start requiring it beginning in 2021 of U.S. citizens. It basically is an application of a form you have to fill out for security clearance. It has to be done, I think, 48 hours before you travel. Once you do it, it's good for 3 years. It's not a visa, but similar in some regards. But basically, it allows European authorities to do a security check on people inbound before they get on an airplane.
Speaking of your passport, it's important to make sure it'll still be valid 6 months after your trip.
Yeah, at least 6 months. And obviously, the regulations vary on this around the world. Some countries will be 2 months or 3 months, but 6 months encompasses just about everyone. And some strange requirements, too. Some countries require that you have two blank pages in your passport. So as it starts to fill up, you need to think about the process of getting extra pages into your passport, which can take some time. People look at it and say, hey, my passport is valid. But people want to know that if you do stay longer, the passport is still going to be valid.
And if you're traveling with children, let's say on a family trip, is it a good idea to have their birth certificate on hand just to be safe?
Yes, it's a very good idea. It's a requirement in some countries. In other countries, it's not a requirement, but it's immigration officers have the authority to ask. And if they think something is amiss with the family, or they're just having a bad day and want to quiz somebody, you may find yourselves getting asked for birth certificates and detained if you don't have them till it can all be straightened out. This doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people. The birth certificate issued by a county, you know, it's not like an immigration officer in South Africa or Botswana is going to know that Travis County, Texas has a particular seal for its birth certificates. But different countries do want them because it shows who the parents are of the child. And the U.S. passport does not show that for minor children. A lot of people think perhaps it should. It would lessen the confusion and the requirements around this. But good idea to have authenticated, certified copies of birth certificates with you when you travel really anywhere in the world these days.
And in reading through your story in the Wall Street Journal, it seems like some travelers make the wrong assumption that if a country doesn't require a visa, then all that's needed is a passport, and that may not be automatically the case.
Yeah, I found this very interesting in talking to folks who expedite visas and passports and deal with these regulations every day. Visa process seems cumbersome and, an added burden when you're traveling overseas, but it turns out it may actually be a huge help. If you're going to a country that requires a visa and you go through that process, you apply, you're approved, you're accepted, you have the visa, then when you get to the border, land or air, the immigration officer, passport control officer, has that assurance that you've already been vetted. And you may find clearance much easier. If for places you don't have the visa, there may be other requirements, and people just assume, well, if they didn't require a visa, they're not going to require anything else. The passport is enough. But you may have to have documentation on when you're going to depart the country, certainly where you're going to stay. You may have to have prescription drug information that you're carrying with you. We've talked about the birth certificate requirements, yellow fever certificates if you've traveled through a country where yellow fever is a concern. There are a whole lot of additional requirements that may have to be met, even if a visa is not. And the folks who deal with this day in and day out say more people get tripped up going to countries that don't require visas than get detained at countries that do require visas.
Now, there really is no hard formula to know where you'd need more than just a passport or a visa. So how can air travelers find out what they would need to enter another country?
I think it's a really good idea to check the website of the U.S. Embassy or consulate of the country that you're going to. You can find these through Google searches, or you can usually find them on the State Department country information page. So the U.S. State Department keeps some of this information on its website. Every country has an information page, but they don't keep all. They almost always have links to more information provided by the country that you're going to visit. South Africa is a good example. The U.S. State Department page on South Africa has a lot of information about what's required, what's not required. But when you get to a section called Traveling with Minors, because the regulations change so often, it simply refers you to South Africa's embassy website. It actually refers you to a page that's no longer active. But once you're on that country's website, you can find what you need.
All right. Good advice to be prepared before you leave home to go to the airport. That's Wall Street Journal middle seat columnist Scott McCartney with us on the line from Dallas, Texas. Scott, thanks for coming on the show.
Sure. Great to be with you, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.